Hello, this is Chaz from Quiet Speculation, and you're listening to the QS Cast. If you're a QS subscriber, you're hearing this as soon as it gets published. If you're not a subscriber, you had to wait a few days. If you want to listen to the podcast as soon as it's published, or you just want to know more about Quiet Speculation, go to quietspeculation.com/tour and check out everything we have to offer. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the QS Cast. No Tarkan this week. So just an update. A lot of the team is in GP Vegas, so really stay tuned to the site. There's going to be a lot of stuff that's going to be revealed. I will be aiding in making sure everyone is learning about all that stuff that's going to be revealed. So I'm going to have a pretty busy week. So once GP Vegas start, I'm going to be pretty busy. I wanted to cast before that. I didn't want to miss. So I have a pretty great guest with me this week. Jake and Joel, they're content creators from YouTube that dabble in the finance aspect of the game. So in response, am I getting that right?
That is right. In response. Yes.
So welcome, Jake and Joel. And if anyone hasn't seen their work on YouTube, just go over to YouTube. It's Jake and Joel, RMTG. And you should, smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, and they do some really cool stuff over there.
Yes, it's Jake and Joel are magic. Come on, man, we're magic.
Oh, you're magic.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone here is interested in magic, but we're magic.
I get people's names wrong, and now I get people's channels names wrong. So it's all right. I'm notorious. So anyway, a lot of things have kind of happened. Before we get into kind of the docket, just want to give everyone just a brief kind of intro to Jake and Joel. So just kind of briefly give us a little introduction, how you've kind of stumbled into the financial aspect of the game. And
Oh, great. Okay. Well, first and foremost, thank you for having us on the show. We're delighted to be here. This is awesome.
That's Jake. I'm Joel.
I got into this game way back in 2009. I was telling Joel and friends, I was like, you guys are so lame. I don't know why you play this. And then I built a Bant deck with like Rafik of the Many. And then from that point on, it was just like, wait, I can buy packs of this and I can just acquire more of it. And ever since then, I've been hooked. I like the financial aspect of it because, it's very much like stock market. You get to monitor these card prices. You get to see when to buy, when to sell. And I really like just having something to like constantly check out and be.
Jake's got a gambling bone in his body. And this is a game that will allow him to exercise his gambling bone and also play a fun game that is very socially interactive.
Yeah, it's like, wait, we play this game? Wait, we do play this.
It does get to that point. I've been a part of this kind of act. I do actually still play the game, believe it or not. Don't tempt me on like stocks. That's like kind of my thing. I've always liked to. Obviously, people know me for some epic failures, but that's okay. When I just get a stack of Underworld Cerberus or a stack of Dark Intimations, rip. It happens. I mean, sometimes it's just fun to gamble. Sometimes, or a lot of them, you could really make some well-informed decisions and. My whole thing is kind of using the game to fuel itself. And I think that's kind of where the narrative has went for a lot of us that have made content is you can be successful. It can be a nice little side thing. That's right. Definitely not out of the question. But, it's also a pretty expensive hobby. And one way to do it is really to grind value into the stuff that you really do want.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there because if you're passionate about the game, then you're going to put the time in and you're going to learn ways to mitigate the amount of money you spend on it. Because as the meta changes, you do start to look for what cards are going up and what can I invest in early. That way, I can profit later on. And
but the word value also goes from like the complete monetary version of the game all the way through to playing the game, drafting cards, building a standard deck, whatever. It goes top to bottom.
Right.
The whole thing is very based in value, and so it's always a focus.
Yeah.
Yep. So, again, glad you can join us. Really happy that you're here. Your YouTube content's awesome.
Thanks,
you know, just before we get into the, again, you know, we're going to get to the good stuff, folks, but this is good also. Don't like, you know, people snapping at me.
Don't tune out.
People snap at me, but why YouTube?
Why YouTube?
Were you drawn to that platform?
Yeah, definitely. We both have, and I'm going to tell on us a little bit, but we both have theater degrees.
Yeah.
And we both went to college and used that college experience to study theater. And so we both learned, we wouldn't have gotten into that unless we had like a natural charisma and a want to be silly in front of people and try and make them laugh and screw around in front of people. And that's kind of our natural want in life. And so we figure combine that with what we studied, which was be good in front of people and maintain, you know, like a viewership.
Right.
Don't let people get bored minute or even second to second.
Well, also Joel isn't like being telling the whole story here. Joel is into YouTube. Joel is a YouTuber. he is, man. Like he watches more vloggers than he really does, you know, television, TV, I would say. And so he actually got me into the YouTube thing. He kind of got me off my butt. And he was like, Jake, you know, I have an idea for this thing. Let's combine, you know, each of our passions, you know, like I'm very passionate about the finance side of Magic. He's like, we can talk about cards that you're speccing into, because I would always tell him, I'd be like, oh my God, dude, look at this card. Everyone's like undervaluing it. Like right now, Walking Ballista is like $3 pre-sale. I'm telling you, this is going to be good. People are calling it the bad hangerback walker.
I can't tell you how many texts I would get in the middle of my work day of Jake going, Joel, you got to go to eBay and buy the rest of this card right now. I can't buy all of them, but we should buy all of them right now.
Yeah. So
how it starts.
Pretty much. And you know, Chaz, you were saying you were like, I've had my failures, and I have too, man. I've got 100 SRAM Senior Edificer that are just sitting.
You don't play the game from bottom to top, from top to bottom. You don't play the game without having your successes and your failures.
I hope that my successes outweigh my failures. Kolaghan.
As long as you're learning.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So let's kind of get into the structure of the cast here. So, you know, every cast is kind of our – so this is the structure for this week. We're going to talk about some interest, stuff that has kind of happened over the last week. We're going to touch on a few cards that Tony and I discussed actually last week. Some announcements were made. We're in the midst of an announcement week, but, you know, we've already kind of received a couple of announcements that may kind of shape people's I guess, purchasing decisions and kind of their outlook on sets going forward. So that's always good. That's always a good talking point. Commander Anthology dropped. So that's actually going to coincide with some of the cards that we're going to talk about via interest and, you know, our choices for this week. And then there was also the announcement of the way that the set. So, you know, again, I'll just go more specifically in the announcement. That the sets will be changed. They're kind of a one-off, I guess, set. There's no more blocks. But the real kind of big change here was they're kind of pulling back on the Masterpiece series. They're not going to be in every set, and they're going to be included, you know, and this is Wizards' words here, when they kind of deem them necessary and when they fit the flavor of said set that's coming out. So that's a pretty big pullback, and I wanted to kind of give my thoughts about
sales
that.
Sales aren't going as well. And we need another Masterpiece series to stay on
the game. Right.
Yeah. First and foremost, you know, we don't want to look back at the week on interests. So a few cards that we talked about, Aethersworn Canonist, this, you know, topless, I guess, Sensei's Divining Topless, Divining Divining Topless version of Miracles is actually pretty well for itself. And I guess, folks, I mean, not that I blame them, don't want to let go of their like $3,000 deck because it doesn't work anymore. But this is kind of a real thing. Other Sworn Canonist has been a part of that, I'll bet, in the sideboard. And from what I've heard, you know, with, I mean, Death Shadow's still pretty much a thing in Modern, but there has been, you know, more of a resurgence of Storm. So sometimes they kind of work their way into sideboards there. What was once like a $5, $6 card, it did have a Modern Masters reprint, has surged to like the $15 range, and I think has resettled in the $12 range. So pretty big bump there, basically a double up.
Yeah, I remember opening that card and just being like, oh, what a junk rare. And so for it to rebound like that is really cool. So it's like, go back to the binder, you know?
Yeah. Some really interesting foils have increased. So actually, I mean, I talked about this right before, I think, or right after the Pro Tour, a Living End. Living End really skyrocketed. The foils are basically gone from the internet. They have increased dramatically, as well as some of the ancillary pieces of the deck. You know, the Monstrous Carabid, all the kind of little commons, and even the Amonkhet common of the Horror of the Broken Lands. Yeah, and those foils have increased as well. And I think I noted like a while back. So those are kind of hovering in like the $4 range, but you could have gotten them well less than a dollar each at one point.
Yeah. I kind of missed that one, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, when the deck starts doing well, it's just a deck that, I mean, a lot of people like to play and it's fun. And I mean, short of the horror, a lot of the cards are really old at this point. I mean, Monstrous Carabid, Alara Reborn, it's really old. I believe there was some other foils. Let me check real quick. Some weird ones, and I don't know if they're actually being bought at these new prices, but I saw stuff like Junk Diver, Rashad and Brigand. I'm trying to remember others that I saw that were like kind of doing some crazy stuff. But they drastically, I just don't know if the new prices are legitimate. So if anyone, you know, that is listening, you know, you can kind of give your thoughts there because, again, I noted that they did increase. I just didn't know if they were legitimate. And I actually don't even know where Junk Diver came from. So if you have any knowledge on that, Jacob, is that like a Commander thing? Because that just pretty much came out of nowhere.
We're over here Googling furiously, man.
No, Junk Diver was originally Urza's Destiny.
Yep, it's very old.
Yeah, old card, and then it did get reprinted in, I believe it was the Mono Red Derivi.
Yeah, it was a Commander 2015, I believe, 2015.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but I guess, yeah, I mean, Biospark is just kind of chiming in here. It was just a very low supply, and I think that's pretty much just it. Maybe it was, in an article somewhere.
Yeah, recently, too. Sets that don't get opened as much, the cards are much more expensive.
Right.
Yep. Collective Brutality, this was more recent. I mean, I think that was only just a matter of time. I mean, the foil, I believe, was barely a one multiplier for the normal, against the normal copy in terms of disparity. And that's pretty much sitting at like $60. Again, I don't know if the new price is going to stick. Obviously, it's super inflated, but I do think it'll settle in the 40-ish range.
This is like a classic example of the having a set that doesn't have masterpieces in it. And and just people aren't as enthusiastic about opening it.
It didn't get opened. It's a cheap card that's got a lot of options that you can execute.
There's like some classic, you know, Kolaghan's Command stuff going on here where it's just like a card that was really undervalued. And then it's like when you play it, you just see the power of it.
Right.
And so, yeah, it really was just a matter of time.
Yeah. I mean, this is likely a staple going forward. And again, I mean, Eldritch Moon really isn't being opened. I don't even believe it might still be redeemable, but don't quote me on that. I don't think so. So, I mean, really, it was just, again, it was just a matter of time. I've been kind of eyeing that one. I should have just grabbed at least a copy, but just didn't.
Well, yeah, you know, as popular as Death Shadow is, you know, when you have the Jund with the white splash Death Shadow, Grixis Death Shadow, it's really just like, you know, this card, Death Shadow kind of depends on it for, like, the burn matchup. And so as long as Death Shadow is a thing, I think Collective Brutality is going to be a thing. And it's not just played in Death Shadow. So I don't know. I think the card is really powerful. I think it's very good. I'm not getting rid of mine. I will say that.
Yeah. Another interesting one, and actually I'm kind of ashamed of myself that it flew over my head and under the radar, or whatever you want to call it. Tarkin and I didn't discuss this in the 2 weeks that we had the Commander League, so shame on me and him, especially because I even played during this. I mean, this was one of, like, the first sets I was buying into when I first started playing the game. Sabo's Decree, I believe I'm pronouncing that right, but it's five generic black. It's an instant. It's from Invasion. You choose a creature type, target player reveals their hand, you discard all the cards of that creature's type from it, then destroy all creatures of that type that player controls. They can't be regenerated. That's so obvious. I couldn't believe I didn't even had any thought to mention this card.
That sounds huge, especially since they're going forward and trying to, this year at least, tribal EDH.
Yeah, that's basically a shoo-in from the tribal announcement for EDH. Super ashamed of myself.
Yeah, even before you try and speculate what the tribes are going to be, it's like, it doesn't matter what the tribes are going to be.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter. Another interesting one, Anointed Procession. Didn't think this would I have to be honest here. I didn't think this would increase as drastically as it did this quickly. But when the card's a bona fide staple and it's a card with an ability that's not usually in this color, it basically has a bright future no matter what. So foils have always been kind of
This card, I totally missed this card.
Jake is looking at this card right now for the first time. That's where his what came from.
It's totally... it's so there. If an effect would create one or more tokens under your control, it creates twice that many of those
tokens.
There
are so many green cards. Good. I would say there's at least two green cards that are very expensive that have this exact effect. And this one just kind of flew under the Amonkhet radar because everybody was like, Amonkhet, there's no value there.
Everyone's looking at Gideon of the Trials and they're buying the presale at like $40. Yeah. And it's just like, this is totally the kind of card that gets missed.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, I believe there's always kind of value in this particular card. I mean, I think non-foils have kind of now hovered around the $4 range. And that seems correct for a card like this. It doesn't seem like it can get any just because it always has that upside. For casual commander, who knows even if any kind of constructed, we saw it show up at the Pro Tour. I think Black was playing this. This is a deck that could, start being a thing with Marvel being banned. I mean, that was another announcement that we're not going to get too much to, but Marvel is banned. So that kind of opens the floodgates on specific cards and standard that were overlooked. I didn't want to get like super into the announcement only because I'm not as interested in, cards previously. We don't have any new data. I mean, there's nothing that's, there's no decks that are being recorded yet. This just is a gateway to having a great pre-order period for Hour of Devastation because there's no how does this beat Marvel? Or this isn't going to be very good with Marvel around. So basically just opens the pre-order period of Hour of Devastation right up. But, sometimes cards like this continue to rise regardless. So that was a couple of cards that I wanted to kind of hone in on for the past week, just document them. In terms of cards I like going forward, and it's actually, I've been tasked with starting up. So I guess, what better time to say it on the podcast? I've been tasked with bringing back an article series that Ryan Overturf was writing for the site, and when he stepped back, there was kind of this raid. And a card that I kind of like, and I was planning on using this card in this article, I think I even mentioned it on Discord, is Black Sun Zenith. And this card I've literally just been seeing pop up almost every single day. I mean, it's like every other day, every single day, it just creeps up another couple percentages, And I think the reason why is it actually dodged the Commander Anthology reprint, which is good. It only the other Commander reprint from 2015, I believe. But, you know, and it's not only just good because, oh, you know, Hapatra hype, you know, which made a bunch of cards increase. This is just an all-around good card in, like, Commander EDH. I mean, this is just another great sweeper for that format in black. And it's very a very ubiquitous card. I mean, and
yeah,
it's sitting around, like, since the reprint for, like, at, like, $3 or less.
Yep. Yeah, and the it's a renewable board wipe. So, I mean, it's
yeah,
it's such a staple. It's
one of my main EDH commanders is Erebos, and so this is one of the choices,
yeah,
you know, as far as board wipe goes.
That's right, right.
Yeah, I mean, this is just one of those, if you're playing black, you're pretty much playing this card.
Exactly.
You are playing. Yeah,
it's like Damnation level.
Right. It's like you have Damnation, and then you have Black Sun, and then a bunch of more expensive or much more higher converted.
Yeah, so, it was original printing in Commander 2014. That was it.
Yeah. So and it dodged the I believe it dodged. I didn't see. You know, I did type it in beforehand, but if I messed that up, I apologize. But I did not see that it got a Commander Anthology reprint. So that actually is pretty good in terms of upside here. And you know, if you want to go more so into this, there is a full art version that there's just not a lot of supply out there still. So I mean, that has just been dwindling, I think, for a while. And there's just not that many out there. And I believe this is going way back, but I believe the full art version spiked during like that Tiny Leaders kind of when that was, you know, popular.
That 6 months?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. During that time period of when it was popular, that card increased, but it never decreased. Like that is that specific version of the card. I think increased $15 or something like that. And it pretty much just stayed there. And that's going back. What, like 2 years now? So right. And there's just not a lot out there.
Oh yeah, I mean on average the full art's going at $17, so
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Foils and full art what I really like here. Yeah. And even normal copies, again, like I said, it's been showing up on the, you know, the stock updates like all daily, if not daily. So that's one I really like.
And just from a side note, this is a beautiful full.
Yeah, go ahead.
This card is gorgeous.
It is a pretty card. That's true.
It is very nice. It is very nice looking.
You know, in EDH, you know, it's all about pimping the deck. So it's really like, you know, you get your renewable sexy foil back again and again. I mean, that's what people want in EDH. Let's be honest.
Hey, look, ask me why the foil Keranos, God of Thunder, is $60 to $70.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, I think it's a strong buy. Living End continues to raise, but I think the kind of the ship has sailed on that. Commander 2016 cards continue to increase a little bit here. I'm looking primarily at like Crystalline Crawl. But I mean, I think mine for this week is Black Sun Zenith, and I plan to write a kind of a stock / supply update. I think I'm calling it Tireless Tracker. I believe I settled on the name, so thank you, Cord, because I'm horrible at doing that.
I love that.
Yeah. And Sentinel Druid. I don't know what that, but I'm kind of peeved that this is now like a $7 card. I actually really like this card. It's on the reserve list. It's played in old school. Ah, that sucks. But other than that, I'm not seeing anything that really jumps at me. For foils, let's see. What was I really hoping to choose here? Nothing really crazy. I didn't have that many choices for this week, admittedly. Oh, for standard, actually for the ban list. So for the ban update, I know I kind of mentioned in Discord, and there was a lot of discussions since these new leak cards that we'll get to in a minute. We talked about like Glorybringer and a couple of the other stuff that just seem a lot better now that you know Marvel is gone. I mean, I like Glorybringer. I think it's a great card. I know it's kind of trended down into like the $3 range, but I just don't think I think that's underpriced for that card. I really truly do.
I do too. Normally, when we see like our Stormbreath Dragon or our Thunderbreak Regent or you know, like our powerful red dragon of the set, it's normally a card that, you know, people go hard into, and this one's dealing 4 damage to a non-dragon creature. This is a pretty powerful effect. It's going to 2 for 1 a lot of the time. And so, yeah, I have to agree with you. I'm very surprised at the price of Glorybringer.
And I very much consider the format open right now.
Yeah.
I think the red mage in me, the romanticized red mage in me, wants mono red to be a thing because after I saw the spoilers, I was like, Jake, definitely mono red. It's back, dude. Let's do red deck wins.
And don't even get me started on Sweltering Suns because I'm serious. I'm serious about it.
It definitely didn't get there with some of the other cards in the format. So now that this is out of the deck, I tweeted today, the format is open. Everybody get brewing, dude. Let's do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I think a strong card. Right. Yeah. A strong card in that sense, Glorybringer. I mean, it's basically the card you want to be playing. It was a really good discussion that was in the Insider Discord about, and not to get like too specific because it's the Insider Discord, but we talked about that Saheeli deck again, and it's still around. I mean, it still had the oaths at least until October. It has like Oath of Nissa. It's basically still intact. I thought that was actually a pretty good choice deck, even when Marvel was around. It's kind of getting a little bit more attention. It's still around, and you can still do crazy stuff with Saheeli and Bringer. And you know, for a long time, actually.
Yeah, I was actually really surprised.
They're both in standard for a long time.
Saheeli Heart of Kieran never really took off because it was such a cheap planeswalker that you could remove a loyalty counter from to crew Heart of Kieran. But honestly, you know, there's so many creatures that crew Heart of Kieran, you don't really need to use that effect.
Yeah. Actually, you touched on Sweltering Sun. Is that a card that you're liking going forward in as well as Glorybringer?
Check out our YouTube channel. Yeah. Who loves this?
Yeah. No, I do love Sweltering Suns, and I'll get into it. I'll get into it for a second. And the reason I like Sweltering Suns is because when we look back on cards that are typically our two red, one other, three damage across the board, you know, we think of Anger of the Gods, and we think of Slagstorm. And although Slagstorm could hit the player, you know, these were typically used to clear, you know, aggro out of the way. And the fact that Sweltering Suns comes with a built-in cycling into it. I mean, how many times, like, back in the day, having, like, Anger in your hand or, you know, Slagstorm, and you're just like, man, I would really like to cycle this away because it's just that relevant right now, and now you can. I think as new sets come out and as as Amonkhet is no longer in the spotlight, I think this card does end up going up. I just bought 8 foils of it. I'll just let you know. I have, you know, like 20 of the non-foil version because I don't know if it goes through the roof, but I do not think it goes down, especially as the format's opened up. We're going to see aggro. I don't think it's going away. Sweltering Suns destroy zombies. I mean, there's no real like getting around it. So I think it's a card that I'm pretty positive about, and the fact that it cycles is just icing on the cake. It's really strong, it's powerful, and I think right now it's pretty underpriced for what it does.
I agree, especially since I don't think Bantu's Last Reckoning will get there, so I think people fall back on Sweltering Suns as well.
And you know, we have Fumigate, but Fumigate is just a little too late. You know, it's just like sometimes you need that
format's
early.
Too quick.
It's quick. Fumigate's good.
Five mana board wipe shouldn't be too late, but it's a quick format right now.
Yeah.
We'll see how it shakes out, but right now it's just too quick for it.
As far as the skip your next or skip your untap, what is a two black, one other, the Bantu's, what is it? Bantu's?
Yeah, that's what he was talking about.
Yeah.
Bantu's Last Ring, yeah.
Yeah,
I like the card. I think the flavor is there. I think it might see some EDH playability, but as far as a standard card where, you know, you really need to be able to do things on each turn, I don't know if it's
in my
there.
Opinion, you're doing Bantu's on turn 5.
Yeah.
So that you still have some value out of it.
Yeah, but then it's like at that point, you know, why aren't you playing Fumigate?
Exactly.
But, I mean, it is black. It's a black card.
Yeah.
It's a destroy all creatures for 3. You know, we have another card that's kind of similar to this, you know, Toxic Deluge, but this is legacy playable.
Right.
You know, this card is, you know, 3 cost destroy all creatures, so it has to have a big pushback. You know, it's not Damnation. So we're going to see. We'll see how it shakes out. Maybe it finds its way into a control shell. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I just don't think it's – I think in a lot of instances, Sweltering Suns is just better. So I do like your choice there. I think one final thing before – I guess I want to have this in interest before I actually talk about Commander Anthology is, you know, Marin, Foil Marin. Tarkin and I were extremely high on that. We kind of ordered them, the four foils in that order, you know, Marin being the very, I guess, the favorite of the community, the most lucrative one. The set dropped, and I think within a day, most copies, if not every copy that has been out there under $20 has pretty much dried up. They have definitely pushed into the mid 20 range, and I, you know, foresaw that happening. The disparity between the foil version and the normal version was just too narrow. The non-foil versions were trending. And actually, it was interesting because it's a foil. I mentioned this to Tarkin last week. It's a foil version and not a regular version. So there's actually not any more regular versions that are in the market. So it didn't really get a reprint. But again, I still think the normal versions can trend into the 15 upper, you know, teens. And that foil version will just continue to increase and increase and increase because, let's just face it, I mean, the MSRP of Commander Anthologies is like $159.99. Not a lot of folks are buying that. The overall supply will be out there, and then that'll be it. Like, whatever, you know, folks are opening that first go-around, that's what's going to be out there, and then that'll be it. So I just think the community, I think the player base is just going to absorb that really quickly. We saw that within the first few days, and now they're firmly in that mid 20 range. I think they have nowhere to go up but here. I think maybe in a year's time, that will be like a $35, $40 foil. If it's not maybe even 6 months.
I have to like get right behind you there. I completely agree. You know, normally when a new set comes out, I'm stoked about it. You know, like I was stoked about FTV Angels, and that's gone up a tiny little bit, but you know, this kind of $160, I'm not enthusiastic about it. And if I get together with a couple friends and I'm like, hey guys, let's split this four ways.
I choose Kalia.
And I choose Marin. And then after that, you know, what do you got? You got two people kind of out to dry. And then, right. So yeah, I agree. It's not going to be opened a lot. And this foil will trend up along with Kalia foil, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, Tark kind of like the foil a little bit. I was just super full in on Marin. I mean, you look at every kind of tracking metric, mostly EDH rec, and just the general community, at least the, you know, casual commander community. I mean, Marin is a favorite. It's like most built around generals. It's really powerful in great colors, and you know, it has a home in almost every commander format you could possibly imagine. One versus one, you know, just general multiplayer, the Highlander, whatever you want to call it. It's just good, a good overall general, no matter what the circumstance.
No, yeah, you're absolutely and
I'm
right.
Sorry. Yeah, $15 was just, that's just incorrect.
Right.
I was an early adopter. Kalia was the first commander pre-built, you know, Wizards product that I built. And I was all in on it early day one. And it kicked ass for a while. Excuse my French. But then after a while, you know, it just kind of fell by the wayside because it's very fragile and it's an awesome looking card and red, white, black doesn't have a lot of love until the last cons set. And so it makes sense that the other one's doing better.
Yep. Okay. So moving right along, we're kind of right on schedule. Don't want to keep this too long. So we actually had some, leaks, but we were actually going to get official previews into Hour of Devastation on Friday, I believe. But a few cards were leaked, you know, beforehand. So we got a few cards. So we knew Nicol Bolas, Samut, Bantu's Last Reckoning. We got four cards today or yesterday. I mean, it's, you know, the 14th now. Wildfire Eternal, Ramunap Excavator, a Braid, and Adorned Pouncer. So we know a couple new keywords here. Eternalize, which we don't know. It's on a full art card, so we don't actually know what it is, what it does, rather. And we have Afflict, which pretty interesting. I mean, you put, I don't know how many cards are going to have such a high number, number, but Afflict 4 is whenever this creature becomes blocked, that the defending player loses that much life. In this case, it's 4 for Wildfire Eternal. It's a 1/4. Yeah, it's pretty. I mean, that's not nothing.
If we're looking at just that guy, instants and sorceries in the format, any instant and sorcery from your hand without paying its mana cost.
Yeah, this guy's kind of like a coin flip.
Yeah.
I like him.
That's tough.
His casting cost is a little high, but I think there's something here.
Yeah. So apparently Star City Games is deeming these real because they're up there for pre-order. You got Wildfire Eternal at 99 cents. And then Ramunap Excavator started at I believe $8.99 and is now down to $5.99. So Crucible on a Stick, this other one, 2 and a green, 2/3. You may play land cards from your graveyard. That's just super powerful. I mean, I don't know if there's any constructed, you know, viability here, but I mean, this is, you know, casual commander written all over it.
My fog deck. You want to go constructed standard? Runs all of the
silly cycle lands. Cycling lands.
I cycle them out for fog effects, and then bring them back with Ramunap Excavator. No, it's not. That's not a serious.
It's not even a snake. That's a fail, though.
Yeah, dude. I'm actually gonna say this. I think you get this card coming out, and if there's enough hype behind it, you may see people, maybe like inexperienced players, try to move Crucible of Worlds because they're like, oh, they're printing it cheaper and they're printing it on a stick. So there might be some opportunity here to acquire Crucible at a lower price.
Yeah. I don't think it will hold that pre-order price, and I do think it will decrease further. While it is powerful, I mean, rares in an invocation set, obviously, they just drop off.
And that is true. We do have another invocation round coming with this news.
Right.
Yeah, that kind of moves us into the next announcement. I didn't really like any of these for pre-orders, although I did put some pre-orders up already. So, you know, I know I'm going to be having those conversations with folks during, now that it's pre-order season again, everyone's just going to be going crazy and cursing my name for getting these crazy pre-orders and this like wacky method that I've been starting to use, but I'm keeping it contained this time. I'm not going over a certain amount of listings. It just got way too out of hand. There was just a lot of, you know, cards that I had to send out of packages, and I just don't want to do that this time around. It's going to be more controlled, and I think it will be just as successful. I already locked in a couple of pre-order stuff for myself. I will divulge that more in the Insider Discord. I will have those discussions, but I'm already have a couple pre-orders locked in. And that kind of leads me to my point of they're pulling back masterpieces. And, you know, I have had some discussions with, a few other writers, QS, you know, Sigmund, had, you know, some discussions with you guys about the whole, them changing the sets to one set blocks, or not blocks, but just one sets releases.
Yeah, it's not even blocks anymore. It's just one release.
Yeah, it's just one. They're all standalone sets. Yeah, they set all standalone sets, but you know they could be the same story back to back. So I guess it could be a block, quote unquote. But there's no more like real blocks. The other main takeaway is they're pulling back the Masterpiece series, and they will only be putting them in when you know it works. And I get it. Everyone's first inclination is, all right, well, all the Masterpiece stuff just seems like a strong buy now because they're not printing them as much. And, you know, you could be right, but it's not, you know, that cut and dry. They didn't say they're not doing it anymore. you know, obviously that lowers the risk of any current Masterpiece card to be reprinted again.
Yeah.
But I'm more excited about the fact that, you know, if you string along a couple sets without Masterpieces, I'm looking at those sets with a lot more optimism, especially during pre-orders, because you don't worry about, you know, invocations anymore or, you know, Masterpieces anymore. And there will be, I mean, we have a very small sample size in the Shadows Over Innistrad block where you have a couple, you know, higher end mythics. You had like Liliana of the Last Hope that was kind of just sitting at like $40 for a while. You had Grim Flayer at like 20. Yep. You had Spellqueller, which was a rare at 10. You had Tireless Tracker, you know, the name of the, the article. I mean, but yeah, I mean, that came from like, you know, that settled back down, but then shot back up to like $8-9. So I'm just more optimistic about not having to worry about masterpieces in every single set. And that, you know, what's more interesting is now going through each set and just finding those cards. You know, there's going to be a lot more of them that are going to be lucrative. And not every card has to come with the caveat of masterpieces. So while it's fun to kind of, for me, I mean, I don't know about you guys, what your thoughts on this, but for me, like, you know, masterpieces are a good buy. I just don't think I'm as invested in those, you know, quite literally. And, you know, want to discuss like what the ceiling is, how long, you know, how long they have to grow and this, that, and the other thing. I'm more worried about, or I'm more invested in the hype periods being actually hyped and without masterpieces and actually focusing on the cards.
Yeah, I think this is a huge step in the right direction because, you know, I know we spoke about it earlier, but when you look at a set like Battle for Zendikar, where it's like there is no value here, you have Gideon Ally of Zendikar, you have Ulamog the Ceaseless Hunger, you have some dual lands that for all intents and purposes are just subpar compared to our speed lands that came out in Kaladesh, our cycling lands that we're starting to see more and more. You know, the only reason you're opening Battle for Zendikar right now is to chase Expedition lands. And so the fact that sets aren't going to be mass opened, the fact that the power isn't going to be reserved for the masterpieces, for the expeditions, the invocations, the power is going to be focused on, the cards that come out in the set. So I think this is going to be great. You know, once people acquire the cards that they need out of the set, they're going to stop buying the set. And so we're going to see some real prices on some of these cards, which is great.
Yep. So that's kind of where my focus is as well. And I'm glad, you know, other folks agree. And again, not to discount the masterpieces. I do think, you know, they have a very good long-term outlook now that they're kind of pulling this back. So I'm not discounting that. But
I mean, let's be honest. They're going to do this with Planeswalkers. There will be an Expedition Goyf. There will be, you know, a Masterpiece Snapcaster Mage. It's just a matter of when. You know, they will do this again. I don't think it goes away forever. But the fact that they're moving it away from every single set is going to have this is good. This is good.
Yeah. So I'm just more excited about that.
Yeah. I'm excited about that, too.
Yeah, and Ixalan, I mean, this is happening in Ixalan, which is right around the corner, or not right around the corner, but our first set in October, you know, kicks off a new year that they're not, you know, a new kind of, not a new year, but yeah, closer to a new year that, you know, this is already going to be happening. This is already in place. They already mentioned that Ixalan on the October is not going to have them. And I'm really happy to hear that, and it gives me a little bit more optimism for, you know, both ends of the, you know, as a player and as someone who's invested financially.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be stoked on more foil tokens, to be honest, but that's just me. I thought foil zombie tokens were a good choice. I thought that was good. You know, do it with goblins. Do it with, you know, warriors.
Chaz, let me ask you this. Did you think that those masterpieces were doing a good job of driving down the cost of standard for the average player to jump into?
Yeah, and we will miss that.
I think we'll miss it, but also I'm going to be my own dissenting opinion right now and also talk about how the draft periods are going to be longer because we're going to have big sets and no small sets.
Right.
Hopefully that balances out.
Yeah, players that like draft that don't like constructed. I mean, there are people that specifically play limited.
Right. I'm looking at both sides of the argument right now. I really like, and I hate that this whole masterpiece craze came during a period of standard card good, suffering, bam. Standard card good, bam. Standard card good, bam. I just hate that it happened then. But it would be
I was discussing this. I mean, so I guess, you know, we're just kind of going to be ripping it up in here in a few minutes. So if anyone actually has questions or comments at this point, now is a good time to do it because we kind of covered everything that we wanted to cover. So I actually, I think I had a couple discussions. Firstly, I like the fact that they went to the set, standalone sets. And I know I had a couple, back and forth with you. I can't even remember. I mean, it's been a long time. I mean, think about it. And, you know, for everyone listening too out there, really think about an entire block being successful. I mean, think about that. There's maybe like one or two, maybe three blocks, the entire block that was successful. And it's been a very long time.
Yeah, Zendikar.
You can always hone in on one set that just was not good and it ruins it all for the entire block. Then they went to the two set blocks and it just still wasn't working. So, I think they kind of conformed a little bit to what other games have been doing for quite some time and just make these standalone one set releases. So that's first and foremost. But I do think we are going to miss, as players rather, not specifically financial, because obviously that makes some more opportunities here. But we will miss what Masterpieces did for the cost of Standard, especially with a core set. I mean, they throw a core set with like a couple decent mix in there that are like Standard defining. No Masterpieces. One in like in every four sets has a Masterpiece. I mean, Standard will get pretty, more expensive again. I mean, back into like the, not the lows that we've been seeing now, that's for sure.
Yeah.
No, it'll be after Ixalan for sure. And now I'm thinking, how crazy would it be if that next core set they're talking about is the next time they bring back Masterpieces, so they put it in the core set.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm wildly speculating now.
Not wildly.
Well, we're going to have to see. I mean, again, from their mouth, it has to make sense. So.
Yeah. So it makes sense to sell the core product.
All right. I think that about wraps it up. Thanks, everyone, for joining in. Before we sign off, where can they find you on the internet, Jake and Joel? Because they should go over just wherever you are, go over to the YouTube channel, go, follow them on Twitter. Good content, good, all around great content producers. And I'm glad you're kind of getting into this realm of the financial aspect of it as well.
Hey, yeah, we appreciate you having us on, man. You can find us at youtube.com/JakeandJoelAreMagic. Right now, we're giveaway, man.
Yeah, we do giveaways, and we are giving away a Expedition Arid Mesa.
At 500 subscribers.
One person will get it. The first 500 subs that are subbed will get that card. We will send it out to you priority mail.
For free.
For free. So, yeah, come on by. Check out the content. We love doing this. And, Chaz, thank you so much for having us on.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. Thanks for joining me. Been great guests. You can find me at ChazVMTG on Twitter. And just all around Quiet Speculation. Insider articles, podcasts, Discord channel, everything. And the MTG Goldfish podcast as well. So that's going to be a wrap for this week. Thanks, everyone, for joining us, for the listeners that were live, talking. And it's always great to hear comments, questions. Jake and Joel, thanks again. We will do this again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Yep. All right. Take care, everyone.